good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hey there, my name is Kern, and this is episode 51 of Blessing of Frost. With me, you know what? He's just
can't even do. You got nothing. No intro.
He's here.
I deserve better than that.
You're he.
We're doing another podcast already.
Oh, it's brutal. Brutal.
It is. I know, right? Having to talk to you like twice in the same week.
I know.
God.
For those of you wondering, we last recorded on Wednesday, February, what was it, 8th?
Yes.
And it is currently Sunday, February 12th.
Be prepared for the shortest lore master ever.
Actually, I can think of other shorter lore masters, considering I actually do have stuff to talk about. But
really?
Yeah. But
that's true. I actually think I did more this week than I did over the past 2 or 3 weeks, which is awkward.
Exactly. So we have stuff to talk about, but it's the banter may be lacking, for which we apologize.
It is never lacking. As long as I'm breathing, I can figure out some way to insult you. Bring it on.
Well, that is true. So here we go.
So what about your week was so excellent that you have so much to talk about?
My 4 days.
Your 4 days. What what jam-packed 4 days did you have?
Well, okay. I've taken to playing with the mage a little bit, right? So I'm still terrible, FYI.
No. So you don't even stop embarrassing yourself just playing a paladin. Now you have to ruin my class as well. Thanks.
Hey, I'm really good at my class. I'm really bad at your class, and that should just make you feel happy.
I mean,
and superior.
That's weird because I'm so good at both classes.
You're
I
not
don't
that
understand
good
how
at the
that
pally.
Works. Yeah, we'll do some arenas, and you can let me know how that plays out for you.
That would require resilience, which I have zero.
You don't need resilience. But you do, and you would die, so, you know.
Exactly. And, well, actually, that's good, because it would mean that you would then fail, because your pally is holy. So, yeah,
and
let's do that.
What?
You would let me die, thus, you would fail.
No, I'd be killing you. That's the difference.
Oh, I see.
You would be dead. Let's be honest here.
Sarah is like, Kern versus Magic, holy pally, war games is happening. Oh, I'm God. Like, I don't even know what a war game is.
So, you need to get with it on the PvP.
Yeah, clearly.
Because war games, I've only ever done twice, but it's awesome.
Okay.
Do you know what war games
no,
are?
No, I don't. I don't have a clue.
You can do arenas versus other people that, like, you could pair up with someone and do 2v2s against people that you, like, are on the same server with. Oh. Or against anyone. So I could,
again,
you know,
I would require some form of PvP gear. I have none. I have, like, season 2.
Just don't get hit. Problem solved. I mean, if you don't do that, you've got some really good gear.
No,
stay mounted the whole
true.
Time and run around in circles. I hear that's effective healing, right? Oh, no. Oh, that
they nerfed Crusader Aura, sorry.
And Holy Radiance doesn't work anymore. Like
no,
that.
That's true.
Aw.
Anyway, so I played with the mage, and I sucked. I realized that the mobs in the Well of Eternity have got to be vulnerable to fire. They have to be, because I'm playing stupid numbers in that instance and nowhere else.
It could be dumb luck. I mean, it's possible.
No.
it's consistent.
Like, it's consistent. And I'm like, okay. So I did a bunch of randoms, and the DPS queue wasn't so bad because I was doing sort of guild paperwork at the time, doing some recruiting as well. So somehow, unbeknownst to me, I managed to get myself to the 372 eye level and then went, I shall go in and fail in a raid. So
wow.
So I did that. And of course, I had to wait like 14 minutes before I could do so. But I got into the first half of LFR, and they'd already done Morchok and Zanaz, and like, whatever, that's fine. So we're on Yorsaj, who we will talk more about later, and Hagara. And I did not do very well on the meters. But I didn't die, and I helped kill ads, and I killed the appropriate slime, and I didn't die to the ice wave, and yeah, I had one scary moment though where I tried to blink and it was on cooldown, and I'm like, oh crap, that ice wave is gonna catch me, but I ice blocked through it and I lived, so that was good.
Wow, you are so good at that game.
Yeah, so, and then I got into the back half, and I did so poorly on Ultraxion, and I was bad. How was I bad, you may ask? I just sort of ate every single hour of Twilight.
Really? Yeah. You were a wonderful person.
I know, there was only like three healers who actually like took the buff too, so... Oh man, I tried to click on the arcane buff. I did. I tried legitimately to click on the blue arcane buff and it didn't work. So I'm like, darn. That's sad making.
Wow.
Sarah, I'm fire and I'm terrible.
Like that was a question. Oh, I guess it could have been whether or not what spec you were. Never mind.
Yeah. So that's what I did on the mage. In order to get the mage up to whatever item level.
Did you sell your soul?
No. I did a couple of things over on the baby pally. So I went in and I did a random heroic on the baby pally. And I totally forgot that I was in my heroic Yorsaj spec, which does not have improved judgments in the ret tree. It does have blessed life, and it does not have sacred cleansing. Sacred cleansing, pro tip, is the talent that holy paladins have in order to cleanse magic debuffs. So I went through Hour of Twilight without having a dispel, and that's bad because there are times when people get trapped in ice and there are ice chains and stuff like that. Whatever, I just healed through it. So that was kind of fun.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I went and I did an LFR, just the front half on the baby pally, just to get the $250 points, and I relied on others to dispel for me. So that worked quite well. Yeah, because I'm not going to go respag just for like the couple fights that I got in for, like screw that. So especially considering we might be working on him some more on Monday. So and my other spec on the baby pally is prot, so I didn't want to, you know, take my prots back and make that a healing spec and all that stuff. That would have been annoying. So that, and I made about 9,000 gold on Skywall this weekend with enchanting mats and enchants, and that was glorious and wonderful, and maybe now I can actually afford a brilliant Queen's Garnet.
Congratulations. I was going to say, yeah. A Queen's Garnet, huh?
A couple, maybe.
Those are the worst.
Yeah, brutal. And you know, I have a couple of my best in slot things. Like, I've got my heroic shoulders from Hagara on that tune. So it's like, that's two reds, plus one for my cloak, one for my relic, maybe two for my gloves if I'm feeling... Yeah, that's a lot of gems, so... Yeah.
I was just looking at someone selling the blue ones, two of them for 1,000 gold.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So terrible.
So that, and I did a couple runs with you, but we'll let you discuss those.
Yay!
So, what did you do this week?
I did a couple runs with you.
Yeah!
Is that what you were looking for? I mean,
exactly.
Oh, okay. What did we do? I think you healed me.
I did, on my shaman.
My god.
That was
the
so
fact
poor.
That you could successfully heal anything on the shaman is impressive.
Hey, I didn't do too badly. What did we do? We did Shadowfang Keep and then Grim Batol, eh?
Yes, we also did the holiday thing.
Oh yeah, that was funny because we had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Despite having just done a podcast where we're like, you need to kill Apothecary Hummel. Yeah, we still didn't have a clue, and we're like, well, where's the dude? And oh, look, there's a guy we have to talk to. Is that yes? That's Apothecary Hummel.
Yes. And then we killed him and his guy friends that were there, and there's like some sort of thing. You pick up like flasky things to get rid of perfumes and colognes and
no idea.
Yeah, pretty much. Just like I just hit those whenever they were on cooldown and lined them up with the debuffs I was getting. I don't know. I was on my my Death Knight tanking.
Yeah.
Which
that
I
was
recently
hilarious.
Hit 85. And God. To do heroics, thank you. I bought a few epic pieces and I really enjoy tanking. And so I figured, all right, just get him to 85 and do that. I could tank on the Paladin, but I really, I did a lot of tanking on the Death Knight during, what was it, the end of, the beginning of Wrath?
No, the end.
It was the end of Wrath, yeah. And, I don't know, I really enjoy tanking, especially on him, so I figured just, he was like 84 or something. So, hit that last level, bought a few epic pieces, now I can do heroics, and it's good. I really, really enjoy tanking.
It was kind of strange to heal you as my shaman, because I'm bad at healing on my shaman, and I miss my, you know, cooldowns that I've been using all throughout Wrath, all throughout Cataclysm, so no Hand of Sacrifice, didn't have Word of Glory, kept wondering why I didn't have any Holy Power, kept wondering why I couldn't judge. It was really disturbing. So,
well, that's, didn't you used to heal me on the shaman?
No, I used to heal you on the druid, and so I similarly didn't have any real cooldowns, but at least I had Swift Mend and Nature Swiftness. Now I only have Nature Swiftness. And yeah, although the chamois Nature Swiftness is 2 minutes as a cooldown versus the 3 minutes that the druid has, I think.
Right.
So I don't know. It was very strange though, and they made me miss healing on my druid, actually.
And I'm relatively squishy as well. Now keep in mind I do not have any PvP gear. So I didn't like go through and buy the PvP nonsense and equip that and try and kind of dupe into the heroics, even though I sort of did in that a couple of the pieces are like really high level, so it like throws the whole gear level out of whack pretty hard.
Hilarious.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's all tanking stuff. It's not, none of it, well, some of the pieces may be subpar DPS. I don't think so, though. It's almost all tanking gear. And this leads me into, I did a couple solo queues on Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. And
hang on. Lude in the chat room says, you mean like your 397 stam gemmed boots? Yes,
I don't believe that they are stam gemmed anymore. I don't think. I actually don't remember. I know I meant to switch it, but yes. So the first one I did was I was excited because I can actually do like call to arms and get, you know, a satchel and stuff.
That's fun.
Which is awesome because I don't have a lot of mounts or anything on that tune. So I get in, and it's, Throne of the Tides, and we pull the first group, and the first group in Throne of the Tides takes us about 7 minutes to kill.
What?
There are two healers in the first group, and there was not enough DPS in order to kill two healers, even with me counterspelling one consistently every 10 seconds, they couldn't kill it.
I'm so sorry.
It was awful. And so part of me is just like, you know what? Just leave. Like, this is not worth it. Like, you can't do this. It's not worth it. And I said, you know what? We're going to push through. And I'm going to do it anyway. And we did kill the first group after maybe 7 is... No, it was really long. Maybe it was 5 minutes. But...
That's obscene.
It was really bad. But so we kill the first group, and then we move into the over the next few groups, there's a mage. So thankfully, I'm telling the mage to like sheep one of the healers, so it's not the end of the world. So I can actually counterspell one of them.
Wow. Oh, good. Yes.
While the people DPS it down. But everyone in the group is in half garbage PvP gear, ungemmed, no enchants at all, and it's really upsetting. Because I actually, you know, granted my gear, I did have like a green or two and I still may, but they have like gear with resilience on it and they're doing like 3,000 DPS. You can't do that. Like, don't be an ass. Just wait until you have some gear. Do your standard dungeons. They were splitting DPS and I had a warrior in there doing 2,500 damage.
Oh, that's just sad. What was that dude that we kicked? That I kicked.
We. It's always you.
He was... What was he? I don't even remember. He was some sort of DPS. Was it the Hunter? I think it was the Hunter.
It was the Hunter, I believe.
He was like in all PvP gear. And he was actually doing okay damage, but he was Beast Mastery too.
And he had a pet out.
Yeah. I mean, it was just not... it was subpar, shall we say. So I'm like, that's it. As soon as I saw that he was Beastmaster and wearing PvP gear, I'm like, I'm kicking him. And Madge is like, oh no, you don't need to do that. Yeah, I do.
And you did. So terrible. Yep. But so we actually got all the way through the first boss, and not easily, because they were terrible. And the mage was Frost, and they had no water elemental. So by the time we got to the last boss, I was like, listen, you need a water elemental because this is atrocious.
He had no Billy.
No, he had no Billy. Oh. So there was a warrior, who else? Warrior, mage, warlock, all of which were half in PvP gear and with no gems in it or anything. And we actually ended up killing the first boss after a little while. And then two of them left, and I said, yeah, this is terrible, and I'm done here.
And that's why you do occasionally, when you actually get to finish an instance from a solo queue, that's why you get a little goodie bag.
I think the one time I did it, I got a flask of stone skin or flask of something. I don't know, good flask. So I was really put off by that, and I linked the logs to the guild, and like, this is just sad. How are people enjoying the game at this level? Because it's just disappointing to me.
It really is, and I think that sort of highlights the discrepancy. I mean, there's a big group of people that just don't care what they're doing, and they inflict themselves upon other people. Now, like, when I say that I fail as my mage, it doesn't mean that I'm not hit-capped. It doesn't mean that I don't know what targets to kill. It means that my damage is just simply quite low because I'm not used to playing the class. It's a huge difference from, you know, Mr. Fail PvP Hunter without his pet out, or, you know, a frost mage in PvE without a water elemental. I mean, that's just not cool. Please don't be a jerk.
I love Frost Mages, and if I were doing like random heroics, maybe I would be Frost as well. But you know that's not the way that it should be done. Or if you don't, then get a clue. Like, you can't be doing that.
Get a clue.
It's depressing. And so I was kind of depressed after that, but I really wanted a satchel. Like, really did. So I queued up again.
Oh, God.
I was like, how bad could this be?
Oh, boy.
So I get the Stone Core. Oh. And I zone into the Stone Core, and they're sitting in front of Corbis. Like, right there in front of Corbis.
Wait, who's that? Is that the first one?
I believe that's the name of the rock guy at the beginning.
No, oh, at the very beginning? Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And so I get in, and it's just the tank missing. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, this probably didn't go well before I got here, and the tank left or got kicked, or I have no idea. And the healer, which is a druid, says, okay, well, does everyone know what is going on? I'm like, all right, yeah, we like this. You know, it's going through the boss fight, knowing the mechanics. Okay. I'm like, okay, you got an AoE down. There's a lot of adds, a ton. There's the adds in between the, you know, the worm underground phase, and then whenever he crystal barrages, it leaves adds as well. They just, you know, they get AoE down by the DPS, and they don't really do anything because they don't have a lot of life.
Right.
So everyone's like, yeah, okay, we know how to do it, so forth and so on. Great. Okay. Pull Corbis.
They lied.
They lied. So I pull Corbis, and I'm tanking him just fine. The first set of adds doesn't get DPS down that quickly, you know, off of the first crystal barrage. So I toss down Death and Decay, and it goes down a little bit. I try and spread around some diseases on it with Pestilence, and I try and get them down. Okay. So by the time he goes underground, I have Death and Decay up again to try and grab, you know, the harder hitting adds, like they're still small, but the ones that spawn in that phase, and pick up as many of them as I can. Now people are running around, like, their heads have been cut off because they have no idea what's going on, and they're getting attacked by adds, and of course, who knows, to run to a tank and run to the Death and Decay, whatever.
Nobody knows that.
So
are you kidding?
They don't do that, and then one of the DPS dies to him bursting out of the ground, which is just great. So we get out of that phase.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. We get out of that phase, I drop another Death and Decay, and try and get as many of the, now there's Crystal Barrage guys up as well, and we wipe. And not only have we wiped, I did 80% of the damage on the attempt. Like, are you guys serious right now? 80%? How is that remotely reasonable? Like, I did use the tank, right? I double checked. I said, okay, I'm the tank. That did just happen, huh? And
oh my God.
And so I was so angry. I left the group and I logged off WoW. And I'm like, okay, this is not happening. I am not okay with this.
Like,
all right, we're going to play League of Legends. To which I open League of Legends, start playing a game of Dominion, to which is very even, and then we get five capped and we lose at the end of that to like really bad players. And I just wanted to shoot myself. I couldn't figure out what game would bring me any sort of happiness. So I hopped on Team Fortress.
There you go.
And I tore it up, and it was great. So thank God. Thank God something went right there. But it was really disappointing, and it made thinking about solo queuing a very unappetizing, you know, thing, which is upsetting because I really love tanking, and not having the ability to solo queue comfortably is too bad.
See, I find that you have to pick your times. If you're going to do it on, say, a Friday afternoon when all the kids have just come out of school, then that's probably a poor time to do so. If you were to do so on, I don't know, a Wednesday evening around 6 p.m., you might actually get some adults in the mix.
No, this was Friday at about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning?
Yes.
So you have kids playing hooky?
I have no clue.
I don't know.
I have some really dumb people queuing. That's what I know.
I find that I have some good luck, but of course this is way too late for you, around 3 or 4 in the morning. No joke. Like anywhere between 2 and 4 in the morning, because that's when the Australians tend to play, and they're generally not complete idiots from what I've seen.
Well, that sounds like impressive.
So, yay, Australia.
It's way better than what I queued with. So.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. Or something. I don't know. Yeah.
And we'll leave that at that.
So, pretty jam-packed 4 days there.
Yeah, I've got to admit. You know, and it may not have been that almost all that happened on Friday, but it was so angering that I just had to share it with everybody because I have not been as upset in the game as I have been in a while.
Yeah, I understand that. I definitely do.
I love tanking.
So there are no actual posted hot fixes. However, was definitely a stealth nerf. Yes, an unannounced, undocumented, shall we say, nerf the duration of the Void Bolt debuff on Yorsage. I'm not sure if it's just heroic Yorsage, but that's definitely where I saw it. And it's down to a 12-second duration instead of a 20-ish second duration, which means that tanks who are stacking to 3 can now stack to 2 before they do a tank swap, which, by the way, makes life, you know, a million times better, a million times more worth living.
Wait. Does this have to do with the stealth? What?
What? This is a stealth nerf.
All right, keep going.
Wait, I'm done.
All right.
Wait, what's wrong with you?
Nothing. You made it sound like a nerf to stealth as opposed to a stealth nerf.
Ladies and gentlemen, a huge miscommunication. No, okay, so it is a nerf to Void Bolt.
A stealthful nerf.
Yes. Stealthful nerf. Okay, fine.
Listen, I'm just saying. It sounded like you were nerfing stealth, and I was like, how do you do that? It doesn't make any sense. And then you say something about tanking. I don't know what's going on. I'm confused. There's a podcast
what
going on.
Is
this is being recorded. Who the hell? Like, just a disaster going on in my brain. I just have no idea anymore.
Oh my god. Okay. So, yes, Void Bolt has been nerfed, and it has been an undocumented nerf.
Undocumented.
I can't speak.
Wonderful.
Oh man. All right. Into Molly.
Molly.
Hitoku asks us, who...
Come on, ask.
Who would wear the dress on the Moonkin from the Love is in the Air guide better, Kern or Madge?
Magic? No questions asked. Next question.
Fair enough. I will agree to that.
Thank you.
Sarah asks us...
Nothing? Really? That's it? You just accept it?
Oh, yeah.
You got nothing?
I got nothing.
All right. I am the winner.
Sarah, what kind of bacon do you guys like better, pepper bacon or the maple kind? So I will say, I don't know what either bacon is. I just have like normal bacon.
I ate maple glazed bacon this morning, and it was the best bacon I've had in the past, like, probably half a year or so.
Okay.
It was incredible. I had a wonderful bed and breakfast in Western Massachusetts. But, in summation, maple.
Okay, but okay, what is the difference between those and, like, the regular run-of-the-mill bacon?
Because it's coated. Well, pepper bacon has pepper on it. Have you never had anything encrusted with pepper?
No, because I don't like pepper, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say I wouldn't like pepper bacon. I would prefer maple. But
okay, do you like maple?
It's okay. Like, I mean, I'm Canadian, right? So I sort of have to like maple syrup, and I do. I don't generally enjoy like maple cookies or anything, but
you don't like candy. Maple frosting?
No.
Really?
No.
It's delicious.
Eh.
It's all about grade A maple syrup too.
Okay, so
the darker grade of maple syrup.
Since I really don't like pepper, I will say maple.
It's hard to find too.
Maple bacon is smoked with maple wood, apparently.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Well, there you go. And usually has maple syrup, or can, at least.
Okay.
Anyway, it's phenomenal, and the answer is maple.
Maple, okay.
Until I try pepper. I've got to be honest, I've never had pepper, but it sounds really good as well. But maple I've had more recently and is delicious. So we're going with maple.
All right. Rooster asks us, what do you expect to see on day one in Mists of Pandaria? Madge, you first.
The rest of my life back. Back to you, Kirk. No? Okay. I have no idea. I have not looked into anything at all. Was
that was great?
Frostbolt? No clue.
Oh my god.
I don't know. I haven't even thought about it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay.
And your answer is.
I would have said something like that, but you clearly blew me
out of the water. Just crush. I have no clue. It'll never be as funny as getting crushed by like a fell reaver in the Outlands or anything like that. So
that's very true. I remember that day fondly.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it enough, and just I don't know.
I expect to see a lot of people rolling pandas and monks, so panda and monks primarily. I expect to see a lot of people infesting the start zones of the Pandaria, the Mists of Pandaria expansion. I expect to see the servers be really laggy, maybe crash a couple times.
Hooray.
I mean, you know, your general sort of excited, oh my god, it's a new expansion type thing. I expect to see people really, you know, going to be sleep deprived and stuff, trying to get server first and all that jazz. I know that regardless of what I end up doing in Mists of Pandaria, I want server first skinning. I want it.
I was like,
no, because the beta's not out yet. But I was like 40 minutes off of server first skinner. In Kata. I was very close.
I'll see if I can help you with that. We just have to find the equivalent of Nagrin and then go there and
exactly.
Then kill as many moms as possible.
Well, like, that's what I did. I went in Uldum. I went to Uldum and I had staked it out in beta. And I went down to the, you know, the place where all the Whiptail spawns, basically, and, like, south of Ramkahen. And I, like, killed every Crocolisk I could. I had to pull out my Finners, Finkel Skinner.
Oh.
And my Zulian Slicer and my gloves with Gatherer on them in order to skin this stuff. And I did so. And I really thought I was onto something because I had no competition. The respawns were great. I wasn't having trouble killing things. I was trapping things.
But you were doing it by yourself.
I was doing it by myself.
And that's where you got screwed.
Exactly, because the server first skinner in Kata on our server was basically a druid swimming, I should say, around in Vashir, where everyone was killing everything because it was a start zone. And so he was just skinning everybody's kills.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I was very sad because that never even dawned on me that there would be so many people there and so much skinning opportunity there.
Well, you'll have to get it all prepped for the next expansion where you actually, like, set... Like I said, I'd help you out with that and
freaking
get
bring
up
it.
An area to start skinning and just see how quickly you can just skin everything and have everyone else kill it for you.
Yeah, that's definitely a good part of the plan. I think what might hurt me here is that there won't be flying in the new expansion area until you hit 90 or whatever it is.
Gotcha.
So that could be difficult. That might mean some sneak stealth stuff. So, yeah.
Sneak stealth stuff.
I don't know. Anyway.
Requires having a warlock that's a friend.
Well, yeah.
We're out of those.
By the way, want to buy warlocks, PST.
Yeah. But I think that's good anyway with the flying because... With the ability to fly in starting zones and that kind of thing, it gets rid of a lot of the the grandiose feeling of the zone because you could just fly everywhere. And
yeah.
you don't have to... I don't know. The game lost a lot of its coolness, at least Eastern Kingdoms and Kalimdor, when you could start flying yourself everywhere. It doesn't seem as big anymore.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, it suddenly wasn't so much of a pain in the butt to, hop on a bird and go to Thorium Point and then run down when you could just literally fly from Stormwind up, through Burning Steps into the
right.
mountain. But I got to say that I really do... back in Wrath, when I was able to, do that quest at Winterguard in order to, fly and save the villagers, I was like, yes! I can fly again. It was magnificent, and I really enjoyed that. And then I really enjoyed actually being able to fly once I was able to. I did not enjoy paying however much it was in order to fly, but I did enjoy getting the ability to fly again. It was something to look forward to, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be enjoyable without it at first, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something to be said for, sneaking... past high-level mobs in, for example, Netherstorm, which I did on Kern a lot, because I think I was a miner back then. I don't know. I don't remember how that worked, but I remember sneaking around trying to find nodes and stuff.
Yeah.
Good times. So day one in Mists of Pandaria, the typical run-of-the-mill new expansion crap. And as Lude said, all your epics and legendaries turn into blues and greens very shortly. Very true.
/raid.
So, Madge, what did we do this week?
Did we kill heroic bosses in the Firelance?
We did not!
Wow.
Yay!
Earth-shattering. Actually, we've had, one raid since the last podcast. Actually, did we?
No!
There's literally no segment. We've not raided since the last podcast.
However, I don't think we mentioned that raid in the last podcast. I think we talked about the previous week where we went through and got the legendaries.
Oh, we had a raid on last Tuesday.
Tuesday. So
yeah.
And I would like to say that Takari and Josyla and Day and... a former officer of ours, Dorista, who no longer plays the game, all went to Vegas for an ostensible... I don't know if you can even use that word in that sense. For an apparent guild meetup. And it was posted about on the forums and everything. And I wasn't going to be able to go because it's not during my reading week, so I couldn't go to Vegas. But, these four people went to Vegas, and Sarath was already, going on a cruise. So we were down four people on Thursday, so we didn't actually have a raid, which is unfortunate. That's the very first time this entire expansion that we've had to actually cancel a raid due to, lack of signups. Without some sort of, holiday reason or whatever. So, I'm kind of annoyed about that, and I believe that everybody else should be. So, all we got done this week was well, Hurok Morchok, and a bit of work done on Hurok Yorsage. But then tonight,
so that's exciting.
Yeah, that is thrilling, really. But tonight we're gonna go in and work a little bit more on Hurok Yorsage for like an hour, and then clear out the rest of the instance, including Hurok Hagar again. So that should be fun.
Should be good.
That brings us to recruitment. However, we need like two warlocks ASAP. Like, I would take four warlocks, but like two would be really, really, really nice. And definitely a red pally, so that Rhett magic doesn't have to
paladin.
Be
paladin.
Yeah,
red paladin. Let me say it in case you miss it. Rhett paladin, please.
Yeah, please. So that our mages don't have to completely gump themselves to provide the 3% damage buff. Yeah, because magic's damage on Tuesday was, shall we say...
Subpar.
I think that that's being generous, to be honest.
Not great. But that's the way that, you know, that's the... What is it? That's the way that mages parse on that. Like, archmages parse on that fight, though. So, you know, there's not a lot I can do.
No, it's true. So, Rep Halley would be great. Also seeking a Resto Shaman, an Enhancement Shaman, and basically any other ranged. Like, we would take any kind of ranged at this point. But really, a Warlock would be splendid. And
and this other thing. Rhett Paladins.
Exactly. We really want you. It's really sad. Like, in Choice, where I sort of raid part-time, right, they have two Rhett Pallies. And I'm just like... That's so not fair. Can I just steal one of them,
steal
please?
One. It's all right.
Please.
They don't need to. It's all right. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly.
It. Just mention it.
And So please app if you're a Rhett Pally. Please app if you're a Warlock. We really, 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 really need you. And we would love to incorporate you into our raid team. And please be there with us as we push through Hurok Dragon Soul on 25 man. We are a 25 man raiding guild. There are a few of us out there. So please do. Check us out, apotheosis-now.com.
Yes, Rhett Paladin.
Thank you.
General chat, sir.
So, our general chat topic today is sort of things that that you can't really raid without. Like, what makes your raid, like, what add-ons and other tools do you use to really make your raiding experience as good as it can be, basically?
Tools? Add-ons. I don't know if I like the way this is going.
Part of it is in-game, part of it is out-of-game. I mean, it's sort of about resources and what tools that you can use to be a better raider. So, Madge, let's talk to you.
What do we have to say to me? Because I'm a little concerned about my answer here.
I know that you don't use a ton of different add-ons and stuff, which is entirely your call. However, you do use an external program to help you out in terms of your character stats, right?
I do. I use Roar.
And what is Roar?
Roar is a program that allows you to import your character through either the armory or through an add-on. And lets you select different pieces of gear that you have and gems and all that kind of stuff. And it will help to optimize your gear to make sure that it's getting as close to, you know, some of the thresholds as possible without, you know, while still keeping you in hit cap and stuff like that. So you can actually put in pieces of gear that maybe you have two or three different pieces of gear for the same slot, and it'll tell you, okay, well, you should use this piece of gear with this gemming and this reforging, and it'll actually optimize all of your gear to get you the best possible layout.
That is definitely helpful. I know that I've played around a bit with RAR, and I've been left completely confused and dismayed. But that's playing as a healer primarily. It's like, but I don't want all of that stat. I don't understand. But I mean, you can change all the weights and stuff, right? Like, you can say I want hit to a certain point and then nothing afterwards, or I want spirit to a certain point, nothing afterwards. It's just a matter of customization, I imagine, right?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it allows you to do a lot of really in-depth, interesting things. And there's a lot of customizability that some people may or may not use, depending on what level you really want to go into it. By being able to like tweak your spec and picking specific, you know, you could pick four or five different kinds of gear for different things, and some it'll help you lay out a direct upgrade list as well for certain pieces. So it's a really powerful tool, but it does eat up a lot of your CPU while you're using it, just as a heads up.
Yes, this is quite true. I've seen this occur on more than one occasion. So if you're not looking for all of the customization that you can use with RAR, you can just log out in the gear that you want to reforge and stuff and use wowreforge.com. That's what I've taken to use for my Hunter and my Mage, both of which are DPS classes, obviously, but I don't have any options for my gear. It's like, well, that's the gear I've got. That's the gear I'm going to use. So that's the best way to maintain things like your hit cap, like Madge was saying, and you know, some kind of external reforger so that you're not constantly reforging and going, oh, I'm just shy of that hit cap, or oh, I'm way over hit cap and now I don't know what to do. Definitely the automated reforgers are definitely a nice tool.
Yeah, so that's something that I've relied a lot on over the past this expansion for the most part, because it's been a really, really powerful tool, and it takes a lot of the guesswork, and while I could do the math and figure out, well, exactly this amount of haste, especially with the stacking tier piece bonus that gives extra haste, it becomes a serious pain in the ass very quickly. So it makes sure that you're getting the right thresholds for extra ticks on fire related stuff. While still keeping it capped and all of that.
Yeah, because, I mean, in the beginning of the expansion, it really wasn't so difficult to reforge. I mean, a lot of people didn't really know what their thresholds were, what their plateaus were, and so they would just reforge and, you know, gain a whole bunch of haste when they didn't need to, or a whole bunch of crit, or whatever, mastery. But as Cataclysm has evolved, we've gotten a little bit more mappy, and people have figured out, you know, all the different haze caps and all the different plateaus, and, you know, it's really easy for, you know, an automated tool to go, oh, Kern, geez, what are you doing with all of that mastery? Don't you know you should really go for crit? And, you know, it's very easy to sort of reforge appropriately. Of course, the key there is to know why it's doing that.
That's really what you want to do, is you don't want it to be a crutch to not understand why it's doing what it's doing. It's more about making sure that you know the way that it should be done. So when it goes about doing it, at the end product, you can say, hey, I see why it's doing this. So you can understand it, but at the same time, you don't have to sit down and math out every single, you know, stat at the same time. So
I gotta say, though, I was getting pretty good before I started relying on that sort of thing to help me reforge for hit. I was getting really good at sort of eyeballing it and going, yeah, that looks like 40% ought to do. Yeah, sweet. I swear, one of my best like moments in this expansion was nailing 8% hit on Kern without using an external calculator. I felt very good about myself.
Well, there you go.
But of course, that's just one facet of the game and just optimizing your character. Apart from other sort of resources like Elitist Jerks and Learn to Raid and Tank Spot and all of that sort of informational stuff, I asked a bunch of people on Twitter, and I'll ask the chat room right now, you know, what are your favorite must-have add-ons for you know, your rating tune and your rating spec?
We can start pretty easily off the bat with things like DBM, Deadly Boss Mods, or actually, is the other one still in use?
There are three boss mods that are pretty popular. One is Deadly Boss Mods, that is probably the most popular. There's also Big Wigs.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Which is okay. I've never really been a fan of it. And then there's also Deus Vox Encounters, DXE. That is the one that I've been using since ICC. And I was very sad that they took forever to update Incata, but they've gotten much better about that. And the encounters are really well tuned, I find, in terms of, or the add-on is really well tuned for the encounters these days. It gives me like a timer, like how long we've been in combat for. It tells me what the boss health is at. So like every time magic fails to hit heroism in phase one of Madness of Deathwing, I see that minute tick by and I'm like, oop, he failed.
Thanks.
Yeah, anytime. But yeah, so I mean, for any raider, and even if you're in dungeons, I would strongly recommend anyone pick up Deadly Boss Mods, because it yells at you when bad stuff is happening to you. I mean, it big blue text, it tells you to run away, little girl, run away. All kinds of stuff like that. I actually realized that DBM wasn't turned on my mage at one point. Or no, was it my chamois? It was my chamois. While I was healing Madge this week, and I'm like, that's not good. I need to reload my UI and get that loaded like immediately. So I did so, and my life was instantly better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I lay down another necessary one? You've got Omen.
Omen, there you go. The standard, the gold standard in terms of threat meters.
Yep. It's almost completely, I mean, it is necessary.
It really is. And the game now actually apparently communicates threat to Omen, and like it's all in the logs and stuff, I believe. So it's really reliable and should be very good. Back in the day, the gold standard was KLM threat meter, and that was pretty awesome too. But then Omen came along and just sort of raffle stomped it, and now it's the gold standard, and it's a great mod. Everybody should have it so that everyone's threat is being communicated appropriately to everyone else.
Yeah, so that's always good. What else is standard? I mean, what we use standard is, or that we require.
Yeah, we use ORA 3. ORA 3. It's great. It shows you people's durability. It shows you their cooldowns. It shows you all kinds of stuff. And if you don't want to see that information, you don't have to. So you can just turn it all off as long as you're still sort of broadcasting that info to your aide. And it's brilliant. I would be lost without it, because I wouldn't know that people were appropriately using cooldowns. I wouldn't be able to make the right calls, especially on things like pre-nerf, even normal Majordomo Staghelm. Like, that was brutal. So I'm really glad that we've got everyone using that.
Yeah, so that's been pretty helpful.
Yeah, if only just to see everyone's cooldowns. Like, as a reader, fantastic.
I'm trying to think of the add-ons that I actually use past that.
So what, none?
Not none. You know what I ended up playing around a little bit with, but I don't use anymore, was Power Auras.
Power Auras. That is a very popular add-on that a lot of people use. A lot of guilds actually make that mandatory.
Yeah, well, that was part of the reason I'm even mentioning it, is they have since included sort of a version of it in the game itself, which is why I no longer use it, because it was the in-game one covers a lot of the things that I was looking for originally.
Yeah, like when you have a, what is it, a hot streak, and you can have an instant pyroblast, you've got those funny sort of brackets on your screen.
No, that's... Yes. And then Impact is the top one.
Is the top one, right?
Yeah.
And you have very similar things with the Holy Pally for a lot of the classes, I imagine, at this point. But you can always turn those off and use your Power Auras if you prefer. But Power Auras is so customizable. It's not just your abilities. It's like, well, does the boss have your Serpent Sting on it? No? Oh, well, then I will really flash obnoxiously in your face until you put Serpent Sting up on him. And that sort of thing. It also shows you when you're standing in bad. It was particularly handy on something where the badness wasn't really well defined, like on Heroic Meloriac, the black slime. it was kind of touchy. Like, you kind of had to stand a couple of pieces out of it in order to really have the game recognize you're out of it. So it was really handy to have a power aura for that specifically. And it's really just like the most customizable thing. The thing is it's a huge resource hog. Huge resource hog. And I actually couldn't really use it adequately until I upgraded my computer from the crappy ass laptop I was on to a sweet gaming machine now. So definitely look into Power Wars. And if it's a little clunky for you, a little large, there's also weak auras. Which is like Power Auras, except it's a lot less bulky.
Intriguing. I had not heard about that.
Yeah, a lot of people have sort of made the swap, but Power Auras is definitely still much more popular, and everyone's like, well, do you have a Power Aura string for that? Do you have a Power Aura string for that? So I haven't actually tried out weak auras, but I do make good use of Power Auras currently.
I think that a questionable one that some people do like and some people don't are things such as recount and what's the other one?
Scada.
That I don't use Scada. Damage meters.
And healing meters, yeah.
Which, as far as since we live log, it seems kind of unnecessary because you can get literally the whole, you know, of everything in a live log, so you don't really need to worry about damage meters, because I feel like sometimes they don't really catch everything or the whole picture. All it does is give you the damage, whereas logs are just so much better in every way.
Yeah, I mean, like, while you can go digging through recount, if you have it set up to capture all of the available information, while you can dig through it and find all the relevant information, it's a lot more difficult to do so. I like to run with recount on here and there, just to get a sort of a snapshot idea of what's going on, so I can see any obvious problems. And it's also sometimes helpful to like catch why someone died, like during an attempt. Like, oh man, what the hell just killed Magic? So I'll click on his name and I'll see death and I'll see the last few things that happened to him. And it's a lot quicker to do that in game sometimes, like just at the end of an attempt, rather than, you know, go to the browser and go to the live log and then check that. So it can be really useful, but so many people put so much emphasis on meters that I kind of want to kill everybody who does.
Yeah.
It's not nice, but it's true. It's like, shut up. I don't care about your meters. I don't care.
I use another add-on called Doom Cooldown Pulse. Do you use that?
What the hell is that?
It flashes an abilities icon in the middle of the screen when it comes off of cooldown.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So what would you use that for?
Just making sure that you're on top of, you know, any cooldowns like, I don't know, like fire flame orb or anything in general.
Gotcha. So just flame orb. I hate that thing, by the
way. Why?
I just do. I hate it.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It's like a maintenance thing. It's like, go away.
What?
I don't know.
But it would work for any, you know, any you can set it to do any cooldown, I believe, that you'd like, but it's helpful if you tend to, especially if something you just should be casting every time it's up like that, then, you know, it's there to keep you honest and to make sure that you're casting it every time it's up.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see less use for a healer, but for a DPS class, definitely, for sure.
Right.
And maybe even a tank.
Yeah.
Anything else you use that I don't know about?
I mean, when I'm tanking, I use Tidy Plates.
That was also something that came up on Twitter. Lots of people use Tidy Plates.
Yeah, which...
What's it do?
It overlays, or it switches out the plates that are over the enemy to have, you know, sort of different information and kind of stuff like that. I don't know exactly how you describe it.
That's when you hit V to see all the...
Yes, to see nameplates.
Right.
And it messes with those nameplates and makes them a lot nicer, and they don't overlap as much, and you know, with the WoW integrated ones, they can overlap and you can miss people and all that kind of stuff, and it shows When I'm tanking on the Death Knight, it shows which diseases had are up on which targets and that kind of thing.
Nice, nice. And yeah. It also shows threat and stuff depending on
whether
the
or not
threat
something's
plates,
targeting
right?
you or not. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I've used it. I haven't used it much at all this expansion, but I have used it in the past, and it was definitely something fun. I always found the configuration to be a little bit tricky, but maybe that's just my failure.
I'm not sure.
My failure.
I haven't done a lot of configuring. It just kind of works with the tunes that I use it on.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you use that add-on Mage Nuggets?
I do. I was concerned about going into individual classes only because I know that there's like a lot of stuff class-wise that people would use, but,
right, but
I do use Mage Nuggets for a few of the a few different things. I don't use it for portals, but I use it for their timers on I don't know. I use both Mage Nuggets and where is it? Scorchio for
Scorchio.
Yeah, Scorchio for tracking debuffs and tracking fire damage and stuff.
Huh, very cool.
And so I kind of use a combination of the both to make sure I'm keeping up the, living bomb and all that kind of thing.
Right, yeah, I bring up Mage Nuggets because it works as a dot timer type thing, right?
Yes.
Right, and there are a lot of dot classes out there, and a lot of them have also extolled the virtues of Forte Exorcist.
Which used for a little while as well, but is
really
very,
complicated.
Very complicated, but it's really, really useful. And I think if I had the time to use it, that's the one I would use because it's phenomenal with all the options. But to the same extent, it's a lot of options.
Yeah, it is insane. Like I tried using it on my baby Pally for a little bit as I was tanking and stuff, and trying to get up to 85, and it was a little bit overwhelming. That said, it was I could see the usefulness of it, the utility of it. It's just it wasn't working for me, so that's okay. I'm okay with that. What I tend because I don't play a dot class, so what do I care?
Clearly, you aren't playing a fire mage.
Or
oh, wait.
No, but I'm not like playing. I'm not playing a warlock. I'm not playing a shadow priest. I am playing the mage. But like the only real dot you have there is living bomb, right? Unless you crit and then you use impact and all that stuff.
Combustion.
Oh, combustion.
So forth and so on.
I don't know how to use that properly. By the way, you'll have to teach me how to properly
use
combustion.
Yeah, that's kind of an important spell, but we'll talk about it
anyway. So, definitely dot timers are really useful. And Forte Exorcist seems to be a big one, but Mage Nuggets also has stuff for Moonkins and Warlocks and Priests and stuff, I believe, in the configuration.
Do you use Quartz?
I do. I love Quartz.
I use Quartz as well.
It's very fancy these days. Have you noticed that? Like, I remember the original Quartz. It was not nearly as fancy.
I didn't really use it on the original. I did use it recently, though. I mean, I started using it more recently.
It used to basically just show you your own cast, and it would show you your global cooldown, and that was basically it. But now, I mean, you can have it show damn near anything. You can have it like when I do inscription on the BB Pally, I'm often, making a lot of ink or a lot of cards at the same time. So it'll like merge all of that with the trade skill counter thing. And it's kind of nuts. Every time I set up Quartz on a new tune, it's like, no, gonna turn off like 98% of this. But I really do love the cast bar. The cast bar is great, and I also like the enemy cast bar as well. And I kind of like the GCD, but it's not really necessary for me because of what I play. But on the whole, I Quartz is a great add-on.
You have any others?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you're playing a healer, especially raid frames, like you need some sort of custom raid frames. Well, I'm of the mind that you do anyway. I know that there are some people out there. I think Sarah, for example, who heal using the default Blizzard frames. To which I say, oh my god!
I gotta be
my
honest,
hat off to
I,
you.
I do not heal using the default Blizzard Flames. I heal with
grid. I couldn't do it. I did that in beta, and I was like, no. I'm done. Give me back my grid. But the grid in the beta was causing crashes and lag, so I couldn't really use it, so it was really painful. But I love my grid, and I love my click, which goes with a C-L-I-Q-U-E. Grid and click together are great. I know a lot of other people use read frames called Voodoo, which sort of incorporates the same sort of click technology and on mouse over stuff.
Technology.
Well, no.
Awesome.
True. And
this click button with your mice, and you click things, and it does stuff.
Exactly.
Click you technology.
Bind. Yeah. You heard it here first, folks. We've patented that that phrase.
Click technology.
Click technology.
Very good.
Yeah. So and then there's of course Healbot, which does something similar. I have an unnatural prejudice against Healbot because I remember when Healbot basically like you would click people in your raid and it would basically tell you what spell to cast. And so it basically told you how to play. And so I have snubbed Healbot ever since then. And no, as I understand it, it no longer does that. Or if it does, you can turn that off. But now it works much more like normal raid frames like Voodoo or Grid. But definitely not my style of raid frames. I've tried Voodoo. It seemed a little bit clunky to me, and I remember playing with it in Wrath on my Shammy, actually, and I ended up wiping my group like 3 times in Heroic Gundrak because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Nice. So, there you go.
That's pretty hardcore.
I am awesome. Apart from that, I would definitely recommend Grid to anybody, but I understand that Voodoo does some things really nicely, too.
So. I do not use Grid on the Mage. Because I don't do anything actively with it, and I just use the default Blizzard ones. And a lot of, for example, did you used to have scrolling combat text, or do you still use an add-on version of it?
Yeah, I use mix scrolling battle text, I think it is, but I don't have a lot of the stuff turned on. I have a lot of it turned off. It'll basically show me some crits. It'll show me when I'm low on mana, I think. I could really stand to update my scrolling combat text stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the things that, you know, we used to consider necessary add-ons ended up being integrated into WoW, and they're still doing it. I mean, the raid frames now are much nicer than they were previously.
Oh my god, yes. Like, as much as I don't like the default raid frames, the current ones, they are, like, miles beyond what we used to have. What we used to have was ridiculous.
Dragging groups out of the
raid. Oh my god,
frame
like,
thing.
I don't even want to go there. Like, that's
so
just
funny.
That's tragic. I mean, the game has gone through a lot of iterations in its 7 years, and these raid frames are so much better than what we used to have. So,
A lot of those aspects have been getting better. I mean, they'd listen to the community when, for example, something like scrolling combat text was so popularly used by so many people, they added it to the game. And I think I use the game scrolling combat text.
You know what? I haven't used whatever it is in the game that shows you those big green numbers or big yellow and white numbers, like, ever. Like,
really?
In so many years. Like, I don't even remember how to turn that crap back on. I don't know, because that's not the scrolling combat text. That's, like, just the damage on the field, right? I don't know how to turn it back on.
If you check interface, I'm pretty sure you could figure it out pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's in there somewhere. But, I mean, there were just so many numbers at one point. It's just like, okay, this is getting ridiculous.
Usually that's a positive.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I was constantly getting that. And it was really distracting to me at one point. So, but really, really funny. But I do occasionally miss that, you know, the big sort of exploding crit, you know, the big number that you get there.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was one thing they introduced, and the same thing with this power aura thing that they, you know, introduced as well. And I think they've done a pretty good job when it comes to add-ons of trying to introduce these into WoW without having to deal with, you know, updating them through external ways or anything like that. You know, there's some places where it has failed. I mean, they did try to include a voice chat. which we could mention a few of the ones that people use as well, but that obviously failed.
Oh my god, that was terrible. I remember when it first came out and everyone's like, yeah, no more vent, it's all gonna be in-game. Then we promptly try it and it's like, well, back to vent.
Well, this is atrocious.
Even TeamSpeak is better than that.
So we didn't really mention any of those additional programs either that you run at the same time as WoW.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. So let's talk about voice communications. There's TeamSpeak. Yeah, VoIP. Very, very good. There's TeamSpeak. And TeamSpeak is very much like Vent, kind of laggy as compared to Mumble, which is another one. The quality on TeamSpeak isn't quite as high as on Vent, and Vent isn't as quite as high as Mumble. Honest to God, Mumble is the way to go, except that everybody has Vent. Everybody knows how to work Vent. Everybody is used to Vent. Vent is sort of like the popular choice, shall we say, but Mumble is like the critic's choice, you know? It's not all that popular, although I think it's getting more popular, but the clarity of
speech. Yeah, we use
Mumble.
I don't think you've heard of it. It's still kind of underground.
Yeah, we're just awesome saying. Like that. But I mean, like right now, we're recording on Mumble, and this is some great technology right now. Like there's like virtually no lag between me and Magic, and you know.
And the only reason that we started using it is because it was free.
Exactly, it's totally free. Totally free. Like you can like if you run Vent on your own server or whatever, you have a maximum of like 10 people like can use it at a time. It's like, okay, no.
Yeah, because so, you have to get a license from the people that own Vent in order to have more than 10 people or something.
And that is lame. So we went with Mumble, and it's fantastic. I really, really enjoy it. Good stuff.
Yeah, the sound quality is just as good, if not better, and
better.
Yeah, like you said, it's faster. I mean,
the
it's
lag.
Got...
Okay, let me tell you a quick story. I'm gonna dive. Take a small diversion here. Small tangent. In Choice, there's this tank. His name is Beezlebubba. Okay, Bees is atrocious when it comes to counting down, but like everybody wants countdowns, right? So that they can pre-pot or what have you. So Bees is like 3, 2, and then all of a sudden the boss is engaged. And it's like consistent, right? It's not like he's just bad. It's like he is consistently terrible. And I've frapsed a few choice pulls like while working on various bosses and trying to, you know, get that ever elusive first kill. And like I've seen the boss engage like right after B says 3. And it's just like, oh my god, this is terrible. So I was talking to him in game the other day, and I'm like, dude, you've got to do something about your countdowns. They are atrocious. Like, especially because he didn't tank the other night, and we had a druid tanking, and so he was doing the countdowns. And I'm like, oh my god, teach Bees what you're doing, because your pulls are fantastic. And so I'm just talking to Bees about it, and he's like, well, I don't know, I'm just hitting heroic throw whenever I get to 1. I'm like, well, that's your problem. You're not accounting for event lag. He's like, well, is it really that bad? I'm like, yes, it is. You have to like give it like another like, you know, count and a half. Like wait until you say mentally 0, and then after you've said that to yourself, then hit heroic throw. It's like, oh, well, I'll try that next time. It's like, how? Vent is bad. Mumble is good. We don't have that kind of latency.
No. So it's been, I mean, we only started using it this expansion, and it's been nothing but positive for the most part. So I would suggest if you're just looking into voice over IP stuff that you go with Mumble.
Definitely. I cannot, I can't extol its virtues enough. Okay, let's see. What else do we have here? One of the add-ons I cannot live without is Omni CC. It is phenomenal. It's this little timer that shows up on the actions that are on cooldown. And it says, like, for example, if I use Lay on Hands, it says, like, 10 minutes down to, like, you know, 1 minute. And then it starts counting down 59 seconds, 55 seconds, et cetera, et cetera. And it's fantastic because it's like a visual, like, oh my god, Aura Mastery will be back up in 6 seconds. Hold on. Like, And to me, it just means that it's that information is really accessible to me. It's not just this like little, you know, sort of darkened thing that's sort of doing a clock-like motion or whatever on the actual thing, and then all of a sudden it pops up and it's available. It, like, I know exactly when that's going to come up again, and that's fantastic. And I am completely lost without it on any tune whatsoever. So not just for reading, but for, like, anything. I love it.
What do you use to determine deaths, and how do you feel about that?
I love fatality. I think it can be overly spammy sometimes, and it doesn't always nail the cause of death. I mean, it'll always nail the cause of death, but it might not nail the underlying cause, like what led to that being the killing blow. So I always recommend that you go through, logs to figure out the exact reason why someone died. But fatality is great because it'll tell you what the killing blow was on who, and who dealt the killing blow. So if, for example, Deep Corruption goes off on your Saj, then it's going to let you know that, hey, Mo just killed Madge because he blew up the raid because he had 5 stacks of Deep Corruption. And that's great. That means that I can then go into the logs and go, okay, well, how did Mo get 5 stacks of Deep Corruption? And then call out the appropriate person, which in most cases is probably going to be me. So I can go, bad, Kern, bad, no cookie. And fatality is great. It can be a little bit spammy, but it's great in instances, especially if you're a healer, because then you can go in and people can go, WTF healer, why didn't I get heals? And it's like, because you stood in bad like an idiot. And they can't really say anything about it because, like, it's an automated thing. Like, it will record what that cause of death was. So they can't really argue.
So it's a little bit of accountability, and while it's not perfect, it's certainly helpful. If someone stands in a flame wave or a frost wave, then it says you were killed by frost wave.
Oh my god, I tell you what, turn on fatality, go do Hagara the Stormbinder in LFR, and watch for the spam. Hilarious.
of death to frost wave.
Oh yeah, to ice wave. Like, so many people died ice wave. Hilarious.
Wonderful.
I
don't really raid with too many other add-ons, I don't believe.
I have a ton, but, like, not all
that
of them
is
are
general.
Yeah, it's not really general stuff. I mean, I use some raid leader stuff, like, what is it? B-res, I think it's called, which will show you how many battle reses you have left, who
right.
has used their battle res, who has it available, and, if they've already used it, how long left on cooldown. Which is really nice to just see all of that, like, not interspersed with when, I don't know, Sarah's Divine Hymn is coming up, when my Aura Mastery is coming back up, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very handy little add-on. And it sort of confirmed to us that the Shaman rezzing using Reincarnate did not count against battle rezzes, which was good.
Always good information.
Yeah. Let's see. I feel like there's more. Sirius, one of our Shadow Priests, says WoW Instant Messenger is one of his favorite add-ons. That's done by a guy named Wim. He actually was part of the guild Resurgence on Bronzebeard, which was a guild
really?
I was in shortly for 6 months back in Wrath. Yeah, and I don't know if he's still part of the guild. The guild doesn't really exist, I don't think, anymore. But definitely Wim was really on top of things. Every time a new patch came out, he was, like, tirelessly working on his add-on to make sure it worked okay.
And what does it do?
Oh, yeah, sorry. It's like a chat add-on. So basically, if you get whispers, it, like, pops up in a sort of an IM-like window. There's, like, logging capabilities, I think. And, yeah, I not really my thing. I don't really like messing with the chat myself, but... if you're going to do a lot of talking in-game and stuff, I definitely do recommend Wim WoW Instant Messenger.
I may try that, actually. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. I asked on Twitter what people like to use, and Sinwise says that he his favorite add-on is Healers Have to Die.
That is a good add-on for a battlegrounds thing.
He leaves it on while tanking five mans too, because it'll point out the healing mods and if his healer gets attacked. So that's that's a solid use of healers have to die, which I'm morally against on so many levels.
it sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. I mean,
I don't know. Is there anything else?
Not for general rating. I mean, I raid pretty light on add-ons, but I think we may have covered most of the important ones.
I think I did. I am going to post stuff on blessingoffrost.com, so check out the website. I'm going to have people's Twitters who tweet into us, and I'll also link to their specific add-ons that they recommended.
Sweet.
Excellent. Shoutouts.
Shoutouts. That's the part where we do shoutouts.
We do shoutouts.
So, do you have a shoutout?
I do, but I would like to state that in the last 4 days, we have not gotten any iTunes reviews. So please do
that
review us.
That makes me a sad panda.
Sad moose.
That's
so
wrong.
Please do write us reviews over on iTunes. That would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. So my shout out this week in the year of an iTunes review is to Fugara, who is the GM of Choice of Skywall, who is about to give birth to a daughter and is on maternity leave. So I wish her nothing but the best and a swift return back to reading when she's done chilling out with her kid and stuff, because life without Manatee Totem is not worth living, and that's a quote from Sarah.
Alrighty. In reference to yours, then, I guess my shout-out is to Mabs, who had a similar occasion recently. Semi-recently, not that recently, but...
Mabs gave birth?
Not quite. But sort of.
Kind of, yeah.
Which you had...
His wife gave birth.
To two daughters, yes?
Twins, yes.
Twins. So I know we didn't mention it on the podcast, so I wanted to do that real quick, because congrats to him again.
Yeah, congrats, buddy. This is why he's no longer eating with us.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Which is unfortunate, but for good reasons.
Good reasons, this is true.
Twin reasons.
So, the tip of the week. This week's tip of the week is... basically...
this is a detailed one, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. Basically, when you're dealing with deep corruption on the Yorsaj encounter, probably the heroic Yorsaj encounter,
likely,
bear in mind that while Voodoo will show the debuff as one thing and the stacks of the debuff as another thing, grid doesn't. So on your grid, it'll look as though they don't gain a stack when you heal them the first time. But that's actually adding the first stack. But the icon, etc., looks exactly the same. And in the logs, it doesn't show that they've gained a second stack or a third stack or a fourth stack or a fifth stack. So Blizzard is being very lazy in terms of their code, and that's causing havoc with logs and making things more difficult than they need to be. So your tip of the week is to be really careful and detailed with regards to your raid and your analysis of your raid. And hey, there's a great blog post over at Kern's Corner, kern.apotheosis-nana.com.
Hint, wink, wink, say no more.
Dealing exactly with how to ascertain how or why somebody hit five stacks and blew up your raid.
Yep.
So that's our tip of the week, but we would love to hear your tips of the week. Clearly, we are reaching here,
no,
running
we're not
out.
That's a great one.
So if you have any you'd like to share or any feedback you might have, email us at podcast@blessingoffrost.com. We're also still taking bumpers. Need one for Lore Master, Hotfix, Guild Tab, shoutouts, and the tip of the week. Send them in to podcast@blessingoffrost.com.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, let us know what you thought. You can also follow Apotheosis, myself and Madge on Twitter. Follow at @ApotheosisET, at @KernMogan, at @Magity, even though he doesn't tweet. Like,
that
tweet
does...
him, because he doesn't tweet unless you tweet him.
Yeah, I tend to respond to people, though. That does happen, because it comes up on my phone, and it's like, somebody tweeted you. I'm like, ooh, somebody loves me, or hates me enough to tweet me. So, it's always exciting.
You should tweet him with Sad Moose. Yes. Leave comments.
Bad idea.
And rate us up on iTunes, please. And that will bring us to the end of our 51st episode.
51.
I am Kern.
And I'm Magic.
And we are Wild Stallions.
You just had to get it in. You thought about it last time, and you had to get it in.
That is correct. All right. Until next time, stay frosty.
Blessing of Frost is a not-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2011. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our Gildy Numenal for the use of his voice in our intro, and thanks to you for listening.